This episode is brought to you by procrastination. Without it, we've managed to do a podcast, go to work every day, and be functional adults and have some sort of a life. Now let's get to the show.
Hello, hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, people.
This is Two Parts Life.
Yep.
We're back again.
Back again.
Another episode, and we have a guest with us today.
Yeah, podcasting with friends.
We have Chelsea Boyd. She is actually a journalist, and she's with us today to talk about her accomplishments and some things that she has going on.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Chelsea.
Hey, girl. Hey. Hi.
Hello. Yes.
So we brought her on today just to kind of speak about her community involvement and some things that she's done and some things that she's doing currently right now. Mm-hmm. So I guess with further ado, we will start.
Well, first, just hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
Can you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, well, once again, my name is Chelsea Boyd. Usually with all my journalism stuff, I go by Chelsea Simone. I'm 20 years old. Right now, I'm currently in school. I'm actually about to start my third year in college.
Yay!
Which is crazy because time goes by so fast. I'm majoring in journalism. Yeah. I'm majoring in journalism. I started off as a broadcast journalist, but I just love to write, so that's just my forte. So I decided to go more so with straight print journalism and public relations. Right now I'm a freelance writer. I've written for a couple of magazines, some over at Florida A&M University. And then when I came back, spring semester of 2015, I did a couple writings here. Couple of columns. I started my own blog. Oh, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yay! Accomplished black woman.
Yes.
Love it.
So would you like to tell people where they can find your blog?
Well, right now it's currently under construction.
Okay.
But you can definitely follow me on Instagram at seenchelsealately_. Right now I'm working on a couple of projects, so I completely collapse the blog that I worked on, and I'm starting a new one. So hopefully before the end of the year, it'll be out.
Yeah, and I'll put your links on my website too.
Oh, great. So, yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Yay.
Look at us trafficking.
Right.
So I guess the first question that I have for you is, we're going to talk a little bit about microaggression.
Okay.
Because it's everywhere.
Everywhere. All day, every day.
It's in the air. We breathe it.
Yeah.
I try to hold my breath and die.
It's like pollution. It's like exhaust. You can't help but
it really is.
Yeah.
But how do you handle microaggression?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, when I first experienced microaggression, it was way back in middle school. I went from private school to regular public school to a magnet school, all of which were predominantly white. So I was never really exposed into my own community until I just branched out and did it. Mm-hmm. So while I was in school, I had a lot of white friends, and they would always, you know, say these jokes or just like, you know, insults that you don't really see as insults, especially mm-hmm. when you're young, mm-hmm. especially when you're surrounded by, like, you know, Caucasian people every single day. You just kind of like laugh along with them. But when I kind of opened my eyes to see that that wasn't cool, I don't bite my tongue anymore. I used to have an issue when, I don't know, I just, was quiet all the time, so I just let anything just kind of like hit me in the face. Mm-hmm. Just, oh, Chelsea, are you really black? You're such an Oreo, Chelsea. Chelsea, girl, your hair is just like so straight. How can you be black with such straight hair? And they would just laugh, and I would be like, oh, you're so silly. Mm-hmm. No, I don't do that anymore. So
that shit is insulting as fuck.
It is. It's insulting as I don't know what. And once you realize, you know, it's not funny.
It's not.
And when you kind of put your foot down and put yourself to a higher standard that you are a human being and you have a culture, you have a history, mm-hmm. and people need to respect that instead of making these slanders. Mm-hmm. And then you know white folk, they always want to be like, oh, Chelsea, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. It's just a joke. Right. Like, take a joke. No, it's not a joke because you don't realize what you're really saying.
Right.
So.
You're wrong and we're right.
Exactly. Right. Right. So nowadays, I tell it like it is. If people, you know, make jokes, I will say, hey, that's not cool.
Right. And it takes that one time with some people, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll know, okay, I can't play like that with this one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I'll try somebody else.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
But, and as long as there's, you know, some type of boundary established, mm-hmm. then you can get along exactly. fairly well with white people.
Exactly.
But mm-hmm. they, you know, they may just be playing, like right. you said, but it's not funny.
Right. Right. And we, as a black, you know, culture and community, we need to take responsibility to say, hey, that's not right. Hey, that's not cool.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be like, yo, bitch, that's not cool. Blah, yeah.
or anything. I mean, you don't like have to turn up, but you're right, you can, yeah, you know, say something.
Just let them know. Yeah.
Exactly. Because then they won't know any better. I mean, it's ignorance to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they won't know until you say something.
Mm-hmm. So what about code switching?
All right.
Is it necessary? Do you think it's necessary? Or not?
In some ways, yes. Mm-hmm. Because I guess we can kind of go back to my answer with the second question about microaggression. Mm-hmm. You have to set a boundary. So I feel like with certain things, there's always like a time and place for everything. You don't right. have to completely like create this facade. Uh-huh. And once you, like, if you do have white friends or people, you know, outside of your culture, you don't have to fit into their culture. You can right. still be yourself. However, I will never in a million years say the N-word in front of my white friends because they will think that it's okay.
okay.
So mm-hmm. call me a nigga. Mm-hmm. It's not because right. you're not a nigga. So right. don't call me a nigga.
Hello.
Right. And I think that that's very important, you know, that people don't realize when you're going around with your friends, you know, in a professional setting or not, and mm-hmm. going around saying nigga, they are going to think that it's okay. And
exactly.
It's not
it's
okay.
Not.
So yeah. you should just not use that when you're in mixed company.
Exactly. Like, there are just certain things I just won't do with my white friends. No, I'm not going to cornrow your hair.
No. I'm not going to. Nor will I be present
no,
for that.
Exactly.
I don't yeah. want to go with you.
I don't want to do that.
You could at least hold her hand. It might no. be her first time. It's like, Chelsea, I need you there to hold my hand when she cornrows.
Oh, my gosh. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bantu not your hair. No. Cornrow your hair. Chelsea can't. So there's just certain things, like, you, once again, you don't have to completely cover yourself or create a facade when mm-hmm. it comes to people outside your race, but at the same time, you need to set that standard and set that boundary, especially to a community of people or a certain group of people who think that it's okay to just say whatever you want.
Right.
So,
and I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. Stereotypes. I know that we deal with them a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even know that we're dealing with them and we're in the midst of, you know, them all the time. Like, people mm-hmm. will say things and sometimes it applies and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep.
But how do you feel about, you know, other people or even your own race making stereotypical remarks?
Yeah. Growing up, I was always so confused just with where I was culturally in life because to my white friends, I wasn't black. Mm-hmm. To my black friends, I wasn't black.
Right.
So it's like,
where do you fit in?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because of the things that I like to do, it's unpopular. Or I don't want to say it's unpopular, but to white people, it's not in our culture to do certain things like
right.
read books. Which I think is so stupid, but you know. Exactly. Or listen to classical music or music outside of hip-hop and rap. Mm-hmm. But to my black friends, my articulation...
It was too much.
Exactly. Me at that time, not knowing who Lil Wayne was or like Titty Boy or any like rappers and stuff in our culture, they considered me white. So I've been, you know, dealing with stereotypes all my life. And until you just accept the fact that you are a human being who is African American, who's proud to be an African American and who loves to learn new things and look at different perspectives in life, then, you know, you're fine with that. You're fine with the stereotype. But I definitely had a problem with it. And I feel like we as a culture have a problem with it as well. We do it just as much as the white race does.
We do. And it's like you don't realize how much of an effect that it has on you until, like, you somebody says something so left field. Like, I thought all black people like watermelon. I fucking hate watermelon. I cannot stand watermelon. But I don't. But that's not true, though, because when you say all black people, no, because I don't like that. It tastes like crunchy spit, like somebody has already chewed it up for you. And, yeah, and just, like, fed it to you. Like, my mind in watermelon does not,
That's really, I've heard a couple people, they don't. I don't like fried chicken.
See, and I love fried chicken.
We can stop the podcast right now.
I don't like anything. I don't like to eat anything fried.
Yeah, well, I can see that. I don't like eating meat. Sometimes, like, I like chicken, but I don't eat meat every day because it tastes like flesh.
Oh, really?
Sometimes.
I gotta eat meat.
I mean, I should, but nah. No, intestinal worms is not for me, but that's another podcast. Anyways, so you're a part, you're going to be a part of the Million Men March.
Yes, I am going.
So tell us about it. Tell us, you know, how you, like, when did you decide that you wanted to go and why and all that good stuff.
Well, I saw it a great opportunity because my sister, she actually just started at Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Yay!
So she starts classes on Monday, so when I saw that the Million Man March, which I knew about, but I didn't know too much about it at the time, when I saw that it was going to be in Washington, D.C., I think it's, forgive me, I think October the 12th?
Okay.
Yeah. I said, we gotta go. I have to go. I think that as an African-American woman and for someone who is very pro-black, we need to go out in the community and kind of help. We don't have to riot or we don't have to, you know, do all those crazy things. But whatever opportunity you find to, you know, speak your opinion, to be a part of a movement, you should do it.
Right.
So I saw this a great opportunity. I told Camille, you need to, you know, leave a little mattress for me or something because I'm standing in your dorm. And just a group of friends, we all agreed that, you know, this would be a really great opportunity. And I feel like it could possibly be life-changing for us, just seeing a bunch of people coming from just different cities, and they have their own stories, dealing with racial issues, microaggression, all the things that we've talked about. We'll be able to open our eyes and see a bigger perspective.
Right. I think you'll meet some dope people.
I know.
Because DC in itself is like very
DC is like amazing.
Don't you just love DC?
I did not want to leave.
I never want to go. Shout out to DC.
Yes. And shout out to Howard too. I always talk mad shit just because I went to FAMU. And when my sister decided to go to Howard, I was like, so you're gonna be with those like a bougie black folks? And you decided to go all the way in DC in the cold, all that stuff. But I visited Howard for the first time when we dropped her off, and I fell in love with it.
I mean, it'll bring like with your sister going there, it'll bring a different perspective to your life too.
Yes.
Because she'll be like, girl, we don't do that here. This is what we do. Exactly. And then she go put you on to some shit and then everybody go win. Everybody go win and then you can put your own friends on.
And just everyone's going to vibe out, just learning different things.
But I think it'll be great. How could people get involved if they did want to go? Like, what, is there like a website or anything they could go to? Do you
know I think it's millionmanmarch.com.
Okay.
If you Google in Million Man March, you will learn more information about it. It's free.
Yeah. Your Googles, people.
Please, yes. Please don't miss out on this great opportunity. Yes.
Just find you a ride or, you know, in a place to lay your head.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be in there.
Exactly. Right. So that's how I found out about it. My friend Iman, who went to the same high school as me, she graduated in 2012. She said, "Chelsea, this is really great, and I think you would love it." Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'm not even thinking twice. Let's go. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But after, you know, she told me this back in July, so now I just planned, and we, you know, mm-hmm. I got a group together, and now we're just all taking off. So all right. If you guys are interested, all you got to do is go on Google.com.
Yeah, do your Googles mm-hmm. if you want to go. And I guess with the series of events that's taking place, yeah. like... what are some of the things that you do to kind of stay focused and to kind of keep yourself from being depressed and down about the state of our people? Because everybody can admit right now that as a people, we are weeping.
We are.
We are broken.
And I think the scariest thing is that it's young people. Mm-hmm. It's people who are like around our age range.
Yeah.
That are, you know, who are dying, mm-hmm. who are getting brutally killed,
right.
who are experiencing police brutality. So I actually did go into, like, just a slight meltdown mm-hmm. after Sandra Bland.
Yeah, that one hurt me. Mm-hmm. That one was very, 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 like, disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just didn't make that just didn't have sense. It didn't have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She should have never been in jail.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Ever. Right. She should have never been arrested.
That was very disturbing, and I was fucked up behind that a little
exactly.
bit. I was really, really messed up. But
yeah. And I guess just from there, it seemed like just after that, just yeah. a lot more
yeah.
police brutality cases and situations started just appearing. Mm-hmm. So, but not to say that this hasn't happened, like this has, but I think the beauty of social media mm-hmm. and as crazy as social media can be at times, we're starting to see.
Yeah, it's like more publicized exactly. because people know their rights, so they know that they can record.
Mm-hmm.
They just yeah. may have to be from afar.
Yeah, yeah. definitely.
But people know that they can record, so now they're recording and putting that shit on blast because people are tired.
Right.
People are tired. We are tired yeah. of reading about our slain brothers and sisters.
Right.
We are tired.
My brother, who is 16, we watched a little bit of the Sandra Bland case together. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Damn, I'm just scared of becoming a hashtag."
Mm-hmm. And that's real.
It is. That's
it's real. It's becoming like it's too many names to keep track of.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can't even begin.
All
of them.
It's just so. But you don't want to forget anybody either.
You don't.
Right. Yeah.
You don't. You don't want it to just be, you know, one day rant on Twitter mm-hmm. and then just kind of move on.
But how do you, you know, like, how do you shine light on these individuals who have lost their lives without being depressed?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find my happy medium. I can't. Like,
I'm trying to find it just like how you're trying yeah. to find it. Because I literally can't. And I think the thing that I learned and I realized with all of this that's going on is segregation. It didn't happen that long ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's only been maybe like 50 plus years. It hasn't even been like 100 years ago. So that means that, you know, Caucasians, like great-great-grandparents
mm-hmm.
were probably a part of segregation yeah. and all
they raised,
racism.
They raised their kids exactly how they were raised, and that's why we're getting treated.
Some of them are still alive.
Right, yeah. Some of them are.
So, yeah, I mean, we have 10 minutes. You want to go into the other questions, the fun questions, or do you want to?
Oh, man, this is an hour-long podcast, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What did you? I mean, maybe I'll just cut it in half.
Well, you can.
Let me see. Okay. So, we're just going to liven it up a little bit, you know. This is one of the ways that I deal with it. We're just, you know, I guess to segue into how you stay focused or like, I believe in self-preservation. I believe
mm-hmm.
in laughing. I feel like we as Black people deal with our tragedies by turning them into comedy.
Yeah.
which it's good
and it's bad.
And it's bad because I don't think we're necessarily on the other side of that. We don't necessarily like deal with our problems head on like we probably should. We make jokes, whatever it is. This just happens to be the main focus. Black people are dying. This is a little bit more of a serious matter, but it's, you know, you see it in black families. Whatever the issue is, we can always turn that around and make comedy. But not to shine too much on that, but just to make this a little bit fun, I have some fun questions for Chelsea here. I think, like I was telling you earlier, that you're just like a dope person. Like, I follow you on Snapchat.
Yay, dope people.
All right. Yay.
Yeah. And as a person who is too, I deem myself too old for Snapchat, so I just really look up. I try to do my thing, but I'm not as fun as other people. Okay. Anyway, okay, whatever.
I think you must ask that question.
Okay. But first, I want to ask this question because I feel like this is so important. Like, when did you get such a profound knowledge of sense and self? This is not necessarily a fun question, but I think I like your energy, I like your personality. And I just really feel like after I've looked at one of your snaps, I feel better. You know what I'm saying? Like you could just be talking about whatever, but I feel like you were just such a engaging person and you're so very genuine. So how have you come, but you just seem like you're very conscious and know who you are. So how did you come about that?
Oh gosh, it was a journey. It was a journey. And thank you so much for all, you know, just, I'm so overwhelmed because honestly, it makes me feel better when people say that you don't even realize, you know, how you can affect somebody in a positive light or even like a negative light with just, you know, you just being yourself. But I was very, very insecure when I was young. Once again, I was in mostly predominantly white schools, and I didn't really know where to fit in. So I just, you know, kept to myself. And I was skinny, I was lengthy, I had this gap in my mouth. And I was very insecure. And there was a moment where it got really bad. And so that probably happened my junior year. So me just emerging into myself kind of just happened like within these past 2 years. And I think college kind of helped me. And you might think
isn't it
that
great?
It's great. It's so great. Just because you get to meet these people and you just learn more about yourself. And I think with me, this is going to sound silly, but I just saw this attractive self when I looked in the mirror. I thought that I was like, ooh, girl, you got it. You saw that. Like, and I would tell myself that every single day and accept that I'm a goofy person. Sometimes I'm quiet. I am different. I'm very creative and artistic. And it's not bad to kind of just compliment yourself or think that you are the baddest person in the room.
Right.
Because other people are going to think that. And if you're worried about other people all the time, one, you're going to give yourself a headache.
Right.
And two, you're just going to let time pass you by. And, you know, life is too short to do that. You have to live and you have to be happy about just where you are in life. So I guess I accepted where I was and I see where I want to be. And I just don't let any negativity get me down. Sometimes the devil will have you and he'll really try you at times. And you just can't let negativity or what people think of you just make you.
Because it'll manifest into something really, really bad. And then you'll have to play TLC's Unpretty until you feel pretty again.
Okay.
You're talking about cutting your hair.
This is not about you. We're not interviewing you this
time. Oh, okay. That's right. I was about to go into that deep, dark space again.
Oh, snap.
This is what we can do. We can go in the hallway.
Okay.
They don't close until 6.
Okay.
So we're done with the racial questions. Right. I think it's safe.
Exactly.
So
well, let's just keep on going until they come and get us.
Because they ass is definitely coming. They're like, it's the biggest in the community.
Oh, okay. All right. So, fun question. What is a ham hock?
A what? What is a what?
That's what I said.
A ham hock. You know what a ham hock is?
A ham hock? Yeah. It sounds like
a ham hog. Is it a ham hog? No. Have I been saying that wrong all my life?
No, it's hawk.
It's hawk.
Ham hock.
Ham hock. Like, mm-hmm. Like, oh, I was like ham hog. So basically, like a pig.
When you say ham hock, I'm like, you know, is it this?
No,
I have no idea. Do you know?
I don't know. Like,
but, he eat it. But he eat it. You yeah. don't know what it is, but he eat it. Oh, slave ass.
Yeah. Right, the ham hog. Because you know you'd be in the house.
The ham hog is like an essential part of the greens. Like,
yeah, but you know what animal is that?
You need a ham hog for your greens. To no, just get a little seasoning.
Really?
Do you not?
That be your greens, girl.
No, I eat greens. So the meat that's in the greens?
Or like a ham bone.
Yeah, sometimes people put it in greens, like, but I don't eat pork, so.
Pig feet. They put pig feet in their greens.
Wait, is ham hock pork?
I think so.
Because it doesn't look like turkey.
It's like an oxtail. Like.
But what is an oxtail?
They good. I don't know what they are, but them things.
That is us. What is that? I don't know, but it tastes like chicken. So sorry.
So bad.
A ham hock is what's in.
Yeah, people use it. People use it. You can use it. You can use like whatever kind of meat you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
you can use like turkey. Some people use turkey wings or like, you know.
I prefer the turkey ones.
Yeah,
I don't know
good.
If my mom puts in turkey or. I'm going to have to ask her now.
Ask her what a ham hock is.
And okay. Then report back.
Okay, yeah. I will.
All right, report back.
She's going to be like, what did you say to me?
You rude. That's what she's going to say.
All right. I heard through the grapevine that you are an avid reader.
Yes.
So if you would kindly tell me your top three favorite books.
Okay, top three favorite books. Hands down, mm-hmm. I'll start backwards. Oh my gosh, I'm having a brain fart right now. Please don't do this to me. Zora Neale Hurston book.
Yes.
What is the name of that book? You know it.
I do.
What is it?
And it's like, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Side note, though, there's this restaurant. Well, you know, Zora Neale Hurston is a Floridian.
Yes.
She's from a town called Eatonville, which is, I mm-hmm. think, just outside of Orlando.
Yeah.
She's an activist, an author, a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Just a phenomenal
woman.
Really? Phenomenally. But they actually dedicated a restaurant to her in D.C. called Eatonville. So shout out to Eatonville.
So when you go.
Yes. I'm going to check it out. Yeah. I'm going to tell my sister about it. Their Eyes Were Watching God. Zora Neale Hurston.
Okay.
That's
yes.
number three.
Yes. Okay.
That's number three.
Okay.
Number two is The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner.
Ooh, I'm going to have to.
And it's really good. The Sound and the Fury. You have to definitely have an open mind.
Okay.
To it. Just because there's four chapters and it's like four different perspectives. And I won't spoil it, but the first two chapters will kind of confuse you because it's in the mind of someone who. I don't remember if he has, like, Down syndrome. He's just kind of just slow, mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the perspective, like, of what he sees. And it's kind of just, like, all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah, but okay. It's really good. Okay. So Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner is number two. And number one is The Great Gatsby.
That was a good one. The Great Gatsby was, the book was better than the movie.
Than the movie. The most recent movie?
Yeah, not the old movie.
Yeah, the 1970, I think it was 1975.
That shit was slow.
Yeah, it was.
The first one.
I don't think, honestly, and this is just my unpopular opinion, I don't think Gatsby was supposed to be a movie. Just because with the past movies that came out, reflecting the book, it was slow, like how you
said.
Yeah,
it was very, very slow.
The most recent one, it wasn't all that great. Although,
but it just seemed like he didn't have like a personality like he did in the book.
In the book.
So that was my whole thing.
Yeah,
with it, I was like, but I think that you know, with the Jay-Z being involved with the music and stuff,
soundtrack was so good.
It made it a lot better.
So yeah, top three favorite books. Y'all need to read. Make sure y'all read.
Read
people.
Read a book. Read a GD. You ever heard that song?
No.
Okay. Do your Googles in your spare time. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Mm.
These are deep, fun questions.
It is. It's deep. I'm trying to think of all the superheroes that I thought for the longest I would have telepathy, but that would give me a headache.
Yeah.
I would have to take like Advil every day.
And then your kidneys will wear out.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
That's long term.
It took me a while, but I'm there.
Superpower. I guess super strength.
Okay.
Because, yes. But it would be really cool if, like, if I stayed this body type and I had super strength.
Yeah.
You slap the shit out of somebody.
Exactly.
When they get out of
like, if someone came for
you
me.
You had a line, ho.
Exactly. If someone came for me and they just tried to pick on me because mm-hmm. of my size, I'd whop them so deep.
Yes, whop. One time for the whop.
Which one would you pick?
Which one would I pick?
Oh, yeah, the superpower.
I've always been kind of partial to the Flash, so I would think I would want super speed.
Okay.
I like running. I like to get places really quickly, so I feel like if I had super speed, I could get there quickly and I wouldn't have a car note.
What so, about yeah. you, Destiny?
I think I would be invisible for the perv in me.
You just hit on something because there's like this study out. I don't know if it's a study, but based off of people's answers to what kind of superpower they want, you can determine what kind of individual that you are. So since you said that you want to be invisible, that is the characteristics of someone who is pervish.
That's me.
I don't know if this is like a legit study, but I've heard it.
Because I'd be creeping somewhere. In everybody's window.
Ah, nobody now. Coke or Pepsi?
Neither. I actually gave up soda over the summer.
High five.
Yes.
Yeah, so. One time for clear skin.
I can't, but my skin is clear enough.
My bad, acne. Where?
What? No. This one. No.
Have you seen The Color Purple?
Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite part?
You have to reenact it in the voice.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Everything.
Wait. Shut
okay,
up.
Okay,
let her do it.
Okay. Because she just, you guys, she just pointed at me.
With the two fingers. Okay. Excuse me, else. Okay. Everything you've done to me, already done to you.
Say that.
I'm dark.
That was great.
I might be ugly, but dear God, I'm here.
I love it. Yeah. She I said I'm that. Dark. Yo. Like the way you press.
Yo, I felt that. That was felt. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, do you have a hidden talent?
A hidden talent?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like something that you wouldn't normally like do.
Like share?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the...
I'm trying
in your
to
comfortable
think.
List.
I can... It's not necessarily a talent, but I can like... I can make weird noises.
Ooh, give us one.
Three. Okay. Give us three.
Three?
No, yeah. Just give us one.
Okay. Two.
Just one, because, like, they might come through the door and be like, what animal's in here? Let me see if I can do it. It's really weird, but sometimes when I'm excited, it just kind of, like, comes out. I can't do it right now because of my sinuses, but it's like a weird type of screech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Screeching.
I
don't even think I have no hidden talent.
Do you not have a hidden talent?
I don't know if I consider that like a hidden talent because when I do it, everyone's like, fuck Chelsea.
Well, like a quirk.
Yeah, like a quirk.
Quirks
yeah.
are good. We're quirky here at Two Parts Life.
Yeah, we
The very last much. Question. Do you have a Two Parts Lifer? Me and Destiny are best friends. I'm Aww. Her best guy friend and yeah. she's my best girlfriend or whatever.
Go best friends.
So, our lives have... We've grown up, like, I see... The
with each other.
With each other, like... We met 7 years ago, but the growth... I'm so proud of her, because, like, she's just, like, this tremendous human being.
Oh, respect.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of him, because he's still alive and light-skinned and smart, and he has a job and cars and stuff. You're a grown-up.
Okay, so do you have a two-part life friend?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually just talked to her yesterday as like a reminder. Because sometimes I feel like you need to remind your friends that, you know, they're special.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Morgan.
Hey, Morgan.
Shout out to you, Morgan.
Yes, I'll make sure that she listens to this just because okay. she'll be like, oh my gosh, Chelsea. But We went to middle school together and high school. And it's so funny, like, the close friends that I have, they didn't like me at first. Like, Morgan didn't like me because she thought that my hair will always be wet. But our mothers knew each other. Mm-hmm. And then when we got in, like, in the 8th grade, 9th grade, that's when we were, you know, really close. We were one of the few only black girls in creative writing. Mm-hmm. So that was my major, going to Douglas Anderson School of the Arts. Yes. And so we basically just stuck together. We kind of helped create this spoken word group, which is still going on at our school. And we actually enrolled to FAM together. So she's just kind of like my backbone. She's my rock. This is somebody who just is the complete opposite of me. She's, although I'm very outgoing, she just tells it like completely how it is.
Oh, so you guys are balanced.
Yes, very, very balanced, because I can tell her, okay, Morgan, you need to chill right now. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay. And then she will tell me, Chelsea, you kind of need to speak up right here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, advocate for yourself. So even though we're kind of like moon and the sun, we still, you know, mesh really well together. Mm-hmm. And seeing her grow really just brings tears to my eyes, because just witnessing somebody, you know, changing, it's pretty amazing. So, and I know that she can say the same for me. So, yeah, we're both writers, and we are able to, like, critique each other and all the other stuff. So, love you, girl. Love you, Morgan.
So, yeah, thank you, Chelsea. And, like always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Expressions87. .com. That's the website where all our episodes are featured. And just hit us up. And you can also send us emails. twopartslife@gmail.com. Bye.